Know the phrase? Things aren't always as they... Things look one way. And we come to a conclusion, and yet that conclusion is not always accurate. Today, I want to take this phrase and modify it some for our purposes, to make our point. Things don't always seem as they actually are. Things don't always seem as they actually are. In our brief epistle reading, three verses we have today. John, the apostle, speaks to us about a topic that has great breadth and width and depth that we're just going to touch the surface of. But it begins with the reality of what is now. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Here, now, fully, children of God. Now, it might not always seem that way, right? When life happens, the ups and downs, the challenges, the questions, the doubts, the wonderings you and I may struggle with, is this really fully true? Because if we are children of God, if you and I are His sons and daughters, that means that He is our Heavenly Father. This one who has always been. This one who spoke a word and things came into existence out of nothing. This one who sees all things. This one who is more powerful and mighty than anything else. And yet this one Father who cares and loves and knows the ins and outs of your life and mine. That sounds all well and good, and I'd love for that to be fully true, but Pastor, what about fill in the blank? If my Heavenly Father is able to fix this, then why doesn't He? If my Heavenly Father knows that, then why do I still deal with such and such? Children of God? Sounds great. I'd love for it to be true, but things don't always seem as they actually are. What I believe John reminds us of today is a truth, a reality that is objectively true today, yesterday, tomorrow, the times that it feels like it and the times that it doesn't, the times that you're confident in it and the times that you're not. Because, well, it's not about you and me. It's about Him and what He has done. In John's Gospel, we're in 1 John here today, but in John's Gospel, in the very first chapter, he speaks about this same idea, being children of God, and how can this be? In the opening of John's Gospel, the famous and familiar, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. You and I know Him more often as Jesus, the Christ. Later in verse 9 and following, He's described as the true light, the one who has come into the world. And verse 12 then is important for our purposes. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. How do we become children of God? By God's gracious work. By faith. By believing in this one whom he has sent, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And later in John's Gospel, just two chapters later in chapter 3, this one, Jesus, is speaking with a man and elaborates a little bit further for us. This man comes to him at night and they're having a conversation. Jesus tells him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This man, as you and I would be, are very confused. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus here is alluding to baptism. Being born again, born from above, born of water and the Spirit. You and I got to witness this today. As God did his work in and upon little Savannah. Because she figured it out? No. Because she had done everything perfectly up to this point, so God said, "Yep, I want her." I won't ask the parents how she's been, but I think it's safe to assume. It's because God loves his people and his creation. And he chooses them, he grabs them, he takes a hold of them. See, you and I, Savannah, we are baptized into Jesus and we believe in his name, and through that, through God's work of baptism and faith, we are God's children. This is true. It is who we are, John says, today, now, and forever. And yet considering today also causes us, at least for a moment, to think back to who we were. Because, see, this hasn't always been the case. Previously, the Bible describes us as dead in our trespasses and sins. Not exactly an enviable description or state. The Bible describes us as rebellious against God, even enemies. When we're thinking about the one who has all power and authority in heaven and on earth and can do anything with the snap of a finger or a word from his mouth, I don't exactly want to be on the opposite team as him. And yet that's exactly how Romans chapter 5 describes us. Slaves. Slaves to sin and to darkness. Until Christ claims us as his own. That's what we were, but now John tells us that we are children of God, born again, born anew by his work in us through his word and spirit and sacrament. And yet, this isn't all. Because when you and I, even knowing, even grasping to this truth that John tells us today, even when we believe firmly and fully that we are God's children through the grace of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, that we are here and now forgiven, that we're no longer enemies or rebels, but rather reconciled to God, our Heavenly Father, that we are no longer dead, but rather alive in and through Jesus Christ here and now, that we are not slaves to sin and darkness, but rather slaves to righteousness, living as children of our Heavenly Father. Even still, when we hear this truth, when we know this truth, when we confess this truth, there are still things that don't always seem to fit with that. Things don't always seem to our eyes, to our hearts, to our minutes of our day, as this reality actually is. And that's because John tells us that there are some things, some truths, that are not yet. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. There is a truth and a reality, whether you and I see it and feel it or experience it or not. Now we are God's children. And yet there is more to come. I think this is what we recognize. This is what we feel. This is the friction that doesn't quite make sense here and now. But John knows that. God knows that. And He reminds us and promises us that when Jesus comes again, when He appears, we shall be like Him. Our bodies won't be broken with disease anymore, but they shall be raised to new and glorious bodies. 1 Corinthians 15. Revelation tells us that when He comes again and we're joined together with all the blessed saints who have already died in the faith, when we're all raised together, that there will be no more pain, there will be no more tears, there will be no more reason for sadness. Paul in Romans 8 describes it this way. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Here and now, children of God. And as children, heirs of an inheritance still to come. What does that inheritance look like? I can only put a few descriptions on it. But what Paul tells us in Romans 8, it won't even compare to the here and now. Whatever you think is good and wonderful and blessed in this life, apart from the things that are miserable and difficult, it won't compare. It will not compare to the glory that is to be revealed to us when Jesus comes again. And so we have confidence and hope in who we are now, but we also look forward to what is not yet, to what will come when Jesus Himself comes again. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.